Our next speaker is Dr. Jane Bolan, and she is going to talk about patient-centered model to manage antipsychotic medications in underserved populations. And Dr. Bolan has quite a bit of experience with the rural population. She's with the Texas A&M HSC School of Rural Public Health. She's the director of the Southwest Rural Health Research Center and has applied academic and research experience in minority health disparities, rural health disparities, and problems of chronic diseases as they affect rural and minority and in general underserved populations. Dr. Bolan has been working with large 27 clinic federally qualified healthcare in the healthcare system, evaluating the implementation of medical home models for improved patient care. Dr. Bolan, thank you.
Thank you very much. What I'd like to talk about today is our work at the Texas A&M Health Science Center with a large federally qualified health clinic system that has been growing significantly since it was originally initiated in 2007, and within a couple of years of opening their first clinics, they brought behavioral health care online, and then in the last couple of years asked us to assist them in evaluating the implementation of antipsychotic medication management within the context of the patient-centered medical home. So it's incorporating the chronic care model, patient-centered medical home, and then the unique features of the very complex area of antipsychotic medication management. There are no relationships to disclose in this. This is a part of a NSF, National Science Foundation, funded inter-university cooperative, and this particular FQHC joined as a partner in the cooperative industry, academic partner, and we've been working with them for the past 3 years, initially on the evaluation and implementation of the patient-centered medical home, and then more recently they asked us to move on to this very complex area as they brought more behavioral health care services online. So we do acknowledge that their funding and the funding through the National Science Foundation. So just from my initial attendance at many of the sessions here, of course we're becoming more and more aware, as we have in the past 10 years, that second-generation antipsychotics present very complex problems in terms of management. As the previous session, Laura just pointed out, there's some very unique things going on, and I was intrigued to hear what you all had implemented. I thought, well, that would be perfect for this organization, and I'd like to talk to you about it afterwards. And so in terms of the significance and the significant side effects, there are many. And the focus of the Lone Star Circle of Care, which is based in sort of Austin North, and it serves the uninsured, their particular concern is youth and adolescent population, because of where they're at, both physically and developmentally, but also there's kind of a growing body of literature about the unique side effects that are posed. And so we sat down as a team and began sort of an iterative process of what is it that you want to incorporate within the context of the patient-centered medical home in terms of monitoring these patients and doing the appropriate ongoing tracking of the patient over time, as well as incorporating the unique risks and monitoring of unique risks for adolescents. And so in addition to the ADA and APA guidelines for monitoring, there's additional body of literature with Dr. Christoph Correll that we began an iterative process of they work through thinking about what is it that we want to track through our electronic medical record system. So we then took that forward and develop guidelines that they will use internally and incorporate into their electronic medical record system for each and every patient. So we're hoping to build upon that in terms of tracking. Now, our project aims over the course of time, in addition to tracking them as they came online with this huge patient-centered medical home that targets the uninsured, and it's a very unique model in that area. The hospital systems in the greater Austin North region realized that they collectively had a problem that collectively they could address, which was how to get these how to get uninsured patients into a medical care home. And so they all contributed financially to the development of what's known as the ICC. It's the information collaborative that serves the hospital systems in Greater Austin. And when an uninsured patient is admitted either to the hospital or the emergency room, they're admitted into this information system. And then through that, they are assigned out to a patient-centered, they're assigned out to a medical care provider, one of which is the Lone Star Circle of Care, which is a federally qualified health center. It was initiated specifically targeting this group and to address this problem. And so in addition to getting patients enrolled in a healthcare home, after initiating that, wanted to address behavioral health care services. So it is a very unique population, very needy population. And in the early phase of evaluating it, I talked to one person who had gone through separation and divorce and was extremely depressed. She had a young son to care for. She had lost her job. She went into what is known as the MHMR, Mental Health, Mental Retardation System in Texas, which she needed help just to get back to work to treat the significant depression. And she was told there was a waiting list of 8 months, 8 months to get in. And someone suggested, why don't you try Lone Star? And she got in within the next week, got on the appropriate medications, got back to work, and so she's back in the workforce feeling like she's contributing for her son and herself and addressing the issues. So, you know, it was so important to get patients in and get them on the appropriate medications early and seeing behavioral health care providers. That's just one success story. So in addition to tracking patients as they're going through, we want to track, well, what will happen as we implement this this specialized, youth-focused tracking system within the patient-centered medical home? And so we are at the early implementation phase, but I wanted to also talk about, well, we're also going to be doing some things concurrently with that in terms of tracking patient satisfaction, and then at some point towards the conclusion of the study, evaluate the cost-effectiveness of using trained health educators that will be hired to counsel those that are in the study to increase their awareness of the potential second-generation SGA side effects, much like your computer-based model, only would be perhaps more costly with a real human being sitting down and going through behavioral healthcare counseling in terms of these are the side effects that you can expect with these medications, here are your options, as well as counseling them on the value of keeping active every day and the importance of good nutrition to avoid the side effects. Those behavioral health care counselors will be implemented in two of the five clinics that are currently seeing patients for behavioral health care needs. So again, it is a federally qualified nonprofit clinic, and they provide a vast array of services. They have become, I believe, in the greater Austin region, the largest employer of psychiatrists and psychologists as well as counselors. So it speaks to the high demand as well as the need and the fact that under the FQHC model, there is a certain level portion of cost-based reimbursement where they can address the significant cost of bringing these kinds of services online. They employ 23% of all behavioral health care providers in Texas. And in 2010, Lone Star provided 23,000 behavioral health visits to 4,000 patients and projects. They project that by 2011, that number will rise to 42,000. So you've undoubtedly been exposed to the concept of a patient-centered medical home, but it just bears repeating that these are somewhat complex organizational beings to implement. We did a preliminary study to look at the vast literature out there and why this particular model seems to work so well with the implementation of behavioral health care services, in addition to, family-based pediatric services and adolescent services generally. So, but they are fairly complex. There must be regional health system support, IT support, federal and state funding, And they must demonstrate, if they're going to be accredited, that they provide accessible care, they're family-centered, it's continuous, that it is full care. And this applies also to behavioral health care services, that it's coordinated and documented, so it's almost mandatory that they have electronic medical record systems so that they could speak across the several clinics and the several providers that are providing care. And one, probably the two most significant things that comes out of a patient-centered medical home and also as it applies to behavioral health care services is that they have prescription services right on site. The patient doesn't need to leave and go try to figure out if am I going to go buy bread and milk or go pay for medications. They're provided right on site on a basis that looks at need determination and how much the patient can pay and what kind of support they may qualify for. They also provide lab services right on site, so they don't have to hope that the patient goes and gets these lab services drawn, especially complex for the side effects that are associated with antipsychotic medications, that it's important to know what may be going on with the various types of systemic risk factors. So these, just by way of review, those are the attributes of a patient-centered medical home. And here's how their visits, behavioral health visits, have grown and grown rather significantly since bringing on their first psychiatrist in 2006. And in 2009, they had a total of four psychiatrists. And you can just see they're meeting a great deal of need in that area with the uninsured. This is the region that they serve. This particular map is taken from the Texas Diabetes Council, and the dark red and pink show the high-risk areas for diabetes. Certainly a significant risk factor as it's associated with, you know, the metabolic syndrome and those kinds of side effects associated with SGAs. So this is a model that shows the overlay of the chronic care model as it's overlaid with the patient-centered medical home on the bottom. And it really does, using this model, it really does meet the chronic care goals, which is bringing the community into the health system services. And then if established right, it is patient-centered. It should be timely and efficient, based on evidence and in coordinated care. Doing the right things, you're empowering the patient as well as bringing an entire team to bear when patients have complex needs. This was the iterative process that we went through with the providers and the team, the evaluation team. We took the ADA, APA monitoring guidelines and then brought in the additional outcome monitoring considerations for adolescents and young adults that relate to, you know, the side effects related to liver complexity, the need to monitor prolactin and do an EKG for cardiac-related issues. In fact, I was reading, just about the risk of sudden death associated with SGAs and growing body of literature in that area. So this is what we developed. This is what is going to be implemented into the electronic medical record system with prompts and reminders that will come up that will tell the provider when these different monitoring tests need to be carried out on each visit and certainly at baseline. What is especially complex in those kinds of clinical situations are those that relate to where perhaps a pediatrician is treating someone outside the context of a behavioral health care part of the office, if you will, part of the medical home, and may not be aware of other treatments that may be going on. And so the team is firm and really wants this electronic medical record system to be communicating across all parts of the clinics so that the pediatricians are fully aware of what's been ordered, what's been tested, what are the concerns, and they can see across the medical record and the entire system. So I see my time is close to running out, but we will carry out over the course of the next year looking at, and we sort of derive the term AMP, Antipsychotic Medication Protocol. We will be implementing this in the next gen system. We will be studying the impacts on youth ages 11 to 25, given the considerations that the side effects may perpetuate themselves beyond reaching age 18 or young adulthood. And this is, again, this will be a significant part of the study in terms of this particular population. The enormous number of uninsured, they've managed to get a significant portion on Medicaid and CHIP insurance, and the predominant majority are live below the poverty level. And so we're hopeful as we move forward and begin tracking this study that we will be able to pull out a significant terms of outcomes, being able to track the significance of these monitoring guidelines in this particularly vulnerable population, adolescents, young adult, youth. So without belaboring that in terms of the kind of tracking that should go on, I'm going to stop right there and just see if there's any questions. Yes.
You talked about psychiatrists getting involved with, are your primary care providers involved at all with behavioral medicine and prescribing psychotropics for some of the lesser, you know, severely affected patients?
Yes, they are. The question is, are the family medicine providers involved in treating the individuals who are on these medications?
And secondly, what have you done to upgrade their skills?
Good question. The Lone Star Circle of Care formed a behavioral health interdisciplinary committee. They meet monthly. They have case studies. The pediatricians, family medicine providers, counselors, and staff have all been involved in determining what tracking needs to go on and what communication needs to occur across clinical specialty sites. So, yes, this, through this monthly coordinated meeting, they've made it interdisciplinary in terms of across the specialties. Yes?
Is there any... You talked about using antipsychotics. This is a sort of special... You can tell me if I'm talking about this later. But it seems to me from just my experience that we reach for those too often early and don't use things that have been tried and true for generations, like lithium and anticonvulsants. Before we go to the antipsychotics, particularly for bipolar disorder, which is probably the most common thing we treat in kids, is there any effort to sort of modify that?
Excellent question. The question is, too often providers reach for the newer second generation antipsychotics rather than going back to the tried and true initial first generation. I'm certain there are far greater specialists on this topic than I am. So,
talk about whether there's any collaboration with the community mental health centers in the area.
Coordination among healthcare systems. That's an excellent question. There is coordination. You may know that FQHCs sort of are assigned a region. There can't be overlap in competing FQHCs, but in that general region, there is coordination in terms of other FQHCs kind of that surround the area. But in terms of non-FQHCs, I know that they are in close contact with the health chief health official for that county. They hold monthly board meetings. They attend the board meetings. And in terms of the board requirements for the FQHC, there's very strict requirements about who must sit on the board and have coordinated care. I'm not personally aware of the extent to which they coordinate with community health centers. Now, coordination with hospitals, yeah. I'm not aware of that, and that's an excellent question. But in terms of coordination with hospitals, yes. The hospital, appropriate personnel from the hospital also sit on the board. They're also aware through the ICC of who's coming in and going out that has previously been assigned to the FQHC for treatment. So they're aware of rehospitalizations and what they do about it. That's a good question. I'd like to explore that.